Well, while you turn to 1 Peter, the second chapter, let me say just a word or two before we get into our lesson. I want you to know how privileged I feel to have the strength and the mental capacity to be present again on a Lord's Day evening, to be able to worship God, be with my brothers and sisters in Christ, and to engage in a study from the Bible. I've said that in order to compliment you. I think, in my judgment, Sunday evening audiences are special folks. They're special because they've already been here this morning. Probably the majority of you were here for Bible study. And then you remained for the morning worship. Now, I've realized that through frailty, through age, through disability, or other things that occur, there are some folks that are not able to be with us tonight. If circumstances were different in their life, they would be with us. And so this is not in any way to say, well, just because folks are not present, that is not a necessary indication of their lack of spirituality. But on the other hand, the very fact that you are here is an evidence of your desire to follow God. Now, I've said all of that in order to introduce the text for this evening, because I believe that you are well qualified to see the challenge that is involved and to determine that you will take up that challenge. Verses 21 and 22 of 1 Peter, the second chapter, speak of our Lord Jesus Christ. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth. I think there is a variety of very good, very scriptural ways to describe the life of a Christian. But in consideration of these two verses, I think that I would say what it means to be a Christian is that those who are thus determined have said to themselves, no, even stronger than that, have determined in their minds, I am going to follow Jesus. I am going to be like Jesus. I am going to imitate Jesus in all the aspects of my life. May I suggest to you at the outset of our discussion, there's no higher goal that you could care to attain to be like Jesus. How? None of us will ever be divine. None of us will ever be the sons of God in the way that Jesus was the Son of God. When we talk about being like Jesus, we are not talking about having the miraculous power that he had. We are not talking about knowing all that is within man, having all knowledge, having perfect knowledge of knowing everything that will befall us. No, those are not the Those are not the areas that we are talking about. I suppose that we could make our lesson a very short one tonight, and I could sit down by just saying what I think I've already said. This text is telling us that in every phase of our life, every hour that we live, we who say we're disciples of the Lord are saying, I want to apply the teachings of Jesus to my life in all that I say and do. And that is the truth. And I could sit down. But I have to tell you, I'm not going to sit down yet. But rather, what I have chosen to do is to just consider three areas in our lives in which I think this will summarize this idea of our desire, of our goal, to be like Jesus. The first thing that I would suggest to your thinking is the one that is mentioned here in verse 22. If we are going to be like Jesus, we need to be aware of the fact that Jesus never did anything sinful or wrong. Peter simply says, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth. There was never a time that Jesus tried to deceive anyone. There was never a time, though he was tempted, there was never a time when our Lord Jesus sinned. All right. Now, whenever we talk about that, I think I'm well aware of the reaction of the world. Because frequently, as I have talked to people, sometimes talking to those who are new converts, and I have expressed from what the scriptures say here, if we want to be like Jesus, what we have to do is to determine that we will not sin. And immediately, not by everyone, there are some of those converts who will say, oh, Brother Tope, what a wonderful goal. I think that that is exactly the attitude that I am going to adopt in my life. To the very best of my ability, I'm not going to sin. But do you know the reaction of many? The reaction of many, especially those who are not trying to follow Jesus, is, well, that's impossible. Not only is it impossible, but it is too high a goal. Do you know that it is the goal that the Bible sets before us? Suppose we were to change that standard around. Suppose we were to say, God knows that all of us are weak creatures. God knows that the devil tempts every one of us. God knows that the nature of the flesh is very weak and sinful. And so instead of our making it our goal that we will not sin, let's lower the standard. And let's try to meet reality so that we will say, well, you do have some special weaknesses, and it's all right if you give in to those weaknesses. You're strong in some regards. You have some of the characteristics of Jesus' goodness, but you know, in view of the fact of the weakness of the flesh, we really ought not to impose that kind of goal on mankind. Rather, we ought to fit into the world that we live in and say, well, so what if you do get drunk once in a while? That's not really so bad, is it? Or if a fellow says, I never get drunk, but you know I'd like my liquor and I don't hurt anyone. So that ought to be acceptable. That ought to be the teaching of the church. Or someone else says, I don't commit adultery very often, but every once in a while I slip up and I do commit adultery. You can see the fallacy of lowering this standard. What is the proper way of looking at this matter of following Jesus? Well, there can be no doubt that we say, if we're going to follow him, if we're going to be like Jesus, if you're going to be like Jesus in your life, you're going to have a certain attitude toward this matter of sin. And that attitude is simply described by saying, I don't want to sin. I'm going to do everything within my power so that I do not sin. Sin is harmful. Sin is not something that is pretty. Sin is not something that is good. Sin will not help me in my spiritual pursuit, but rather it will harm me. It will hinder me. How do we go about following Jesus? Oh, I think you know the very first step. The very first step is obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, why do that? Well, because the scriptures teach us whenever we confess our faith in him, whenever we repent of our sins, whenever we're baptized according to the teachings of scripture, do you know what has happened to all of our past sins? They've all been forgiven, haven't they? You remember the words of Ananias to Saul, who was the murderer of Christians. Saul was told by Ananias, Acts 22 and verse 16, arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Do you know the most marvelous day in all of your life so far? It was when you confessed Christ. It was when you were baptized. And when you came up out of the waters of baptism, what was your relationship with God right then? You were a new baby, weren't you? How about all of the sins that you had committed? Every single one of those had been forgiven. There was not a single sin left over. Oh, it's no wonder that we sing with that one that has been baptized. Oh, happy day that washed my sins away. And that's the way we start out our life whenever we say, I want to follow Jesus. I want to be like Jesus. That is exactly the goal that we set before us. And the reason why we want to obey the gospel is so God can forgive our sins. All right, now, what follows? Well, we understand that in order for us to have forgiveness of sins, we have to know what sin is. We have to know what sin is. We have to be taught. Oh, you say, but Brother Tope, I know some things already that are sinful and wrong. I know a brother in Ireland. I know this really happened. He was baptized for the remission of sins. And the first vacation time that came along, he said to the preacher, Brother Steve Kearney, he said, I'm going to go on holiday. I'm going to go on vacation. And he said, my girlfriend is going with me. Steve said, "You can't do that." He said, "Well, why not?" Now, how do you think that man, who is now holding gospel meetings and doing preaching in Ireland himself, how do you suppose he learned what was right? Well, it wasn't just because Steve told him that's wrong, because I know this brother and he can be pretty stubborn. So it took something else. What did it take? The Word of God. Do you know that's the power of your studying the Bible? If you say, "I want to be like Jesus," well, one of the things you need to do is to learn right from wrong. And so that old psalmist way back there in 119 said, "Through your precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way." And if we're going to follow the example of Jesus, in Matthew the 4th chapter, you remember all of the temptations that the devil was placing before Jesus. How did he overcome each temptation? Well, you read the account there, and you notice with each temptation, Jesus said the same thing. He said, "It is written." It is written. Where is it written? Well, it's written in the Bible. And so the person, the child of God, who says, "I want to be like Jesus where I'll be free from sin," he says, in order to accomplish that, I'm going to be an avid student of the Bible. And when I read it, I'm not going to read it just out of curiosity or so I can learn something or even so I can tell somebody else. I'm going to study the Bible so that I can apply it to who? To myself. That ought to be our first rule of Bible study all the time. To apply God's Word to ourselves. Well, what else? You say, "I am determined that I'm going to be like Jesus, but you know, the devil keeps attacking me." Does the devil attack you? Well, if you're honest, you say, "Gee, he's attacking me all the time." Why does the devil attack Christians? Why doesn't he just spend all of his time with those folks out there that have no intention of following Jesus? He wants you to be lost. He really doesn't want you to follow Jesus at all. He doesn't want you to be like him. If you do, you gain the victory. He wants you to be lost. What should you do? Take the way of escape that God provides for you. Do you know there is no temptation that we have ever been presented with that God did not provide a way to escape it? Did you know that? 1 Corinthians 10, isn't it? I think that's a passage well worth you're looking at right now, 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 14. Maybe you have that underlined in your Bible or you have memorized it, because that's exactly what it says. No temptation, verse 13, no temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Oh, you know, the person is wrong when they say, I was tempted and I just couldn't resist it. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. There is no temptation that any one of us is presented with that we cannot escape. We can have a choice, and we can choose not to sin, provided we will take the way of escape. I think we could summarize all of this by saying, if we really want to be like Jesus, we're going to grow spiritually. In connection with all of this that we've already talked about, in 1 Peter, the second chapter, Peter addresses those who are babes in Christ. And this is the instruction that he gives. 1 Peter 2, verse 1. Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Now, if you're thinking along with me, there is one other thing that we need to say regarding this matter of sin before we pass on. And it is this. What do we do when we fail to follow Jesus? You've got two choices. You can give up. You say, I'm not strong enough to be a Christian. I have failed. Therefore, I'm going to give up my goal. The pressures have just been too great. I cannot overcome them. I'm just going to give up. That's the one choice. There's a second, and that's the one I hope you will pursue. And it is set forth in 1 John, the first chapter. And verse 7 through 9 through 10 reads like this. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Oh, precious, precious promise. What can you do every time you fail to follow Jesus? You can say, Father, forgive me. And you don't have to wait. I think there are some folks that say, I have to wait until Sunday before I ask God to forgive me. Oh, that'd be very foolish. That'd be very foolish. The Bible teaches us that just as soon as we recognize that we failed our Lord, just as soon as we have allowed Satan to have his way with us, if you're in a place where you can, fall down on your knees just right there and say, Father, please forgive me. Please forgive me. I'd rather be a Christian than anything. I'd rather have this goal of following Jesus than anything else in the world. Because you know what? Though I am determined that I will not sin, And I'm going to keep trying to grow in that regard. But I know that when I fail, there is my merciful Heavenly Father. There is His Son Jesus that has been tempted in all points like we. And we're able to come to that merciful throne of grace. Maybe with tears. And say, please forgive me. And over again, God does. Do you know what? Those who have it as their goal to overcome sin, they're going to be able to stand before God justified. All through our lives, we can serve Him in purity and in truth. Very quickly. Have already used all my time? I hope nobody's looking at their watch. I've got two more areas I want to talk with you about, and I'll try to be a little quicker. I just like that first one. All right. How else are we to follow Jesus to be like Him? To do only good. To do only good. If I'm going to be like Jesus, I have to determine within myself. I've got a purpose here in this life. That purpose in life is not for others to serve me, but for me to be a servant of others. Acts 10 and verse 38, Peter reminded Cornelius and his household that Jesus went about doing good. He did the most good of any individual that's ever been here on earth. And if you want to be like Jesus, you have to be sure that's what your life is about. You wake up on Monday morning. What's going to happen to me today? We don't know. There are many that wake up on Monday morning and we say, I wonder who will do something good for me today. I wonder what nice thing is going to happen to me. There are very few people in the world who set out their Monday by saying, what good will I be able to accomplish today? Spend a moment in prayer, saying, Father, lead me to some soul today. Help me to have an influence when I'm on the highway going to work, when I'm at work, when I'm at school, when I'm in the home, help me to do good. And you know that's what the New Testament scriptures are all about. All scripture. How many times have you read this in 2 Timothy 3? All scripture is given by the inspiration of God. And it's profitable. And he begins to list all of the things that it's profitable for. But it's verse 17 that I want you to notice. What will be accomplished? That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished to all good works. Well, here is the second purpose of the scriptures, not only to keep us from sin, but so we will know what is good. Do good to how many folks? Well, to your family, to those you love, but to those that you don't love. How do we know? As we have, therefore, opportunity, where are we? Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto those of the household of faith. Our brethren in days gone by made a big mistake about Galatians 6 and verse 10. They say, in order to carry that passage out, we have to be organized. We have to have the elders to come together to work out some kind of program of work, and that's what we need to use the church treasury for. But bless your hearts, the church treasury is not even in Galatians 6:10, but you are. As an individual disciple of the Lord, you're right there in the very big middle of it. And what are you to determine every day? I'm going to do good to every man, but especially to my brothers and sisters in Christ. Doing good means we don't do any harm at all. Do good every day. Now that was quick enough, wasn't it? All right, the third thing. Submit your will to God. Probably the hardest thing for us to do. 2 Peter or 1 Peter 2 shows us how Jesus submitted his will to God. We cannot celebrate the death of our Lord without recognizing that indeed is what he did. When you turn to that tender passage in Matthew the 26th chapter, here you have Jesus and the three disciples there in Gethsemane's garden. Jesus turns to them and he says, my heart is very heavy. Watch with me while I go yonder and pray. Three times the scripture says that our Lord went away and he prayed the same prayer all three times. Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Now, what are you saying, Jesus? I don't want to have to be crucified. I don't want to have to endure that pain, that shame, that agony of the cross. I think we can understand why all that was human within our Lord would pray that. But the wonder is when he said, not my will, but thine be done. To be like Jesus, you and I have to be exactly like that. I will to do many things. Not all that I will is in agreement, in accord with God. Become his servant. Give your time, your energy, your money. Follow Christ everywhere, at home, at school, in your entertainment, in your marriage, among your family, among your brethren, among all men. In being like Christ, we're pleasing to God. We live fruitful lives, and we can go to heaven. Determine that you're going to follow in his footsteps.